Hello and welcome to 3 Minutes with Newman. This is Father Juan Velez. Render your heart, Newman, at the threshold of Lent. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Joel chapter 2. Our Father God, who loves us with a tender love, does not ask for striking manifestations of repentance. Instead, through the prophet Joel, he asks for something simpler and deeper, the heart itself. Turn towards him, open to receive his mercy. It is a gentle but searching word to begin 40 days of fasting and prayer. And it is precisely this word that John Henry Newman, preaching as an Anglican at St. Mary the Virgin Church at Oxford, keeps returning to in his sermon on sins of ignorance and weakness. Newman does not yet speak of the sacrament of confession as a Catholic would, but he recognizes what Joel recognized, that without a regular, deliberate turning of the heart towards God, the soul quietly accumulates a weight it cannot carry alone. Not always dramatic sins, but the slow, ordinary drift of a nature that needs daily renewal. A heart that keeps sinning. Newman's diagnosis is stark. We are not simply people who occasionally make mistakes. We carry in us, every one of us, Adam's nature. Quote, we have Adam's nature. He writes, in the same sense as if redemption had not come to the world, close quote. The history of salvation does not happen once, somewhere outside of us, and then settle like a deed in a register. It must be reenacted personally, continually, in every individual soul. Joel knew this. The people of God had drifted, not into spectacular wickedness, but into the ordinary numbness of a heart that had stopped returning. Quote, guilt is again contracted and must be again repented of and washed away. We cannot, by one act of faith, establish ourselves forever after in the favor of God. Close quote. This is not pessimism. It is realism in service of hope. Newman is asking us to stop pretending that one moment of grace, a baptism remembered, a conversion long past, a single season of devotion is enough to coast on. Lent says the same thing. We return again to ashes. We return again to the posture of creatures who need mercy. The sprinkling of blood upon the conscience. The text Newman preaches on, from the letter to the Hebrews, speaks of drawing near to God, quote, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, close quote. The image is vivid and ancient, drawn from the ritual of the Day of Atonement, when the high priest brought blood into the Holy of Holies as an act of cleansing. Newman sees in this image something that every Christian needs, not once but perpetually, the applying of the merits of Christ's sacrifice to the particular wounds of a particular conscience. Though he writes before his reception into the Catholic Church, Newman is reaching towards what the Church has always offered in the confessional. Not merely an assurance that Christ has died, but the intimate, personal appropriation of that death for this soul, this week, with these particular failures. Quote, by the prayer of faith we appropriate it, close quote, he writes, quote, but only for the time, not forever, close quote. Joel's Render Your Heart is, in Newman's reading, not a once-in-a-lifetime drama, but a daily discipline. A voice calling, if we will listen. Newman's sermon finds a striking echo in the Lenten message of Pope Leo XIV, given this very Ash Wednesday. The Holy Father's theme is listening and fasting. Lent is a time of conversion. And at its center is precisely the same movement Newman describes, the heart opened, the word received, the soul turned. Every path towards conversion, writes Pope Leo, begins by allowing the Word of God to touch our hearts and welcoming it with a docile spirit. There is, he says, a direct relationship between the Word, our acceptance of it, and the transformation it brings about. This is Newman's argument in another register. Newman shows us the accumulated weight of a sinful nature that needs daily cleansing. Pope Leo shows us the remedy, not our own striving alone, but an act of listening, of making ourselves quiet enough to hear. The Lenten journey, says the Pope, is a welcome opportunity to heed the voice of the Lord and renew our commitment to following Christ. We can only heed a voice we are willing to hear. The divided heart, distracted, self-sufficient, cluttered with its own noise, cannot receive what God is offering. Pope Leo writes, "The willingness to listen is the first way we demonstrate our desire to enter into relationship with someone." Close quote. Both Joel and Pope Leo point to the same starting place, not a program of self-improvement, but a posture of openness. Lent, the Holy Father writes, invites us to place the mystery of God back at the center of our lives, to keep our hearts from being consumed by the anxieties and distractions of daily life. Newman would recognize his diagnosis instantly. It is exactly the busyness and thoughtlessness he warns against, going on day after day without pausing to examine what is accumulated on the conscience without drawing near. Drawing near with the true heart. What does Newman ask of us at the start of Lent? He asks us to resist the temptation to manage our religion from a comfortable distance, to attend perhaps, but not to examine, to perform, but not to render. He asks for the true heart of the Hebrews text and the rent heart of the Joel text, a heart that knows its own need honestly, that does not take God's mercy for granted, and that comes today and again tomorrow to be sprinkled clean. Pope Leo's message deepens his call. Conversion is not only about what we give up, but about what we become capable of hearing, a heart rendered, open before God. Is at last a heart that can listen. And it is in that listening that the Word of God does its quiet, necessary work, touching, transforming, making new. Ash Wednesday puts ashes on the forehead as a sign of our creatureliness and our need. Newman might say the ashes only make visible what is already there, the mark of Adam, the reminder that we are more in need of mercy than we fully understand, and that this is precisely why we need a Savior who keeps saving, not just once, but every day we live. Pope Leo would add, and that Savior is still speaking. The question is whether this Lent we are willing to be still enough to hear him. Newman writes, quote, "Let us approach God, all of us, confessing that we do not know ourselves, that we are more guilty than we can possibly understand, and can but timidly hope, not confidently determine, that we have true faith." Close quote. It is a humble place to stand at the beginning of Lent. It is also, Newman insists, a place of grace, for it is the God who made us, who knows our dust, who asks for the heart, and who promises to make it new.